Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me take you to the queen side.
I'm taking it to 2-2 side.
Whoa! 2-2 day. What up, everybody? It's 10 a.m. in the district.
I'm a man of my word, JP.
I know you are, sir. It's 10 a.m., and the Washington Commanders are going to the playoffs. The Washington Commanders have won 11 games for the first time since 1991. Back then, Brian was playing and had a mustache. Perhaps most important, most impressive, most fun in all of this is Dan Snyder owned this damn team for about 30 years, 25 years. Yes. Never in his ownership were they able to win 11 games. Josh Harris, the first year he really has his arms around this organization, he hires Adam Peters, they hire Dan Quinn, they draft Jaden Daniels, and bang, 11
in that
wins.
Bang.
They could get to 12, but whatever, we don't even need to count those chickens. They're at 11 now, they're in the playoffs. If it ended today, and it doesn't, they'd be the sixth seed in the playoffs, heading to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. A lot of football left, a lot of decisions to be made before we know exactly who's playing who, where. Maybe later in the week we get into best possible matchups, all that sorts of stuff. But right now, Brian, I remember being a little boy and going to Redskins games, and my dad always shouting, they're a second-half team, they're a second-half team.
Uh-huh.
And Richie Pettibone particularly was known for his second-half adjustments.
Yeah.
Bijan Robinson in this ballgame yesterday had 82 rushing yards at halftime.
Yeah.
He had 82 rushing yards and two touchdowns. He finished the game with 90.
Yeah.
He had four carries for 8 yards in the second half.
Yeah.
You can be glass half full, glass half empty, however you prefer this. They haven't been good in first halves of the last two games, but damn, they've been good in second halves.
They have been good.
And they've won. Well, they've won the games when it matters.
I didn't know Daniel, our engineer, was a Falcons fan, but he was talking all this stuff.
Oh, he's a Georgia guy.
But you know why they ran the ball four times in the second half? Because Washington came out in the second half as an offense and went down the field and scored touchdowns. And when they score a touchdown, I've said it many a times, I don't care who your offensive coordinator is. When the other team has a sustained drive and score a TD, you don't just come back and just stick to your game plan. You feel you got to put points on the board. And they made them begin to do different things. The play, when the snap over the head, if Bijan just focuses on the ball instead of trying to run real quick, it was open over there now.
Yeah.
I'm glad it snapped a little high. He walks in the end zone, but he was trying to run before he got the ball. And sometimes trick plays in those moments, you know, they mess you up.
I thought Tirico's call of that was so brilliant. He's like, and they line up in the Wildcat and screw it up.
I love it.
I mean, dude, there's so much to take away from that game. And we'll get to all of it. And that's one of the beauties of having 4 hours and phone lines. Like, we'll get to everything that happened last night. And there was that crowd was truly fantastic.
Oh, bro.
And
they were good. Listen, they've been good all year. And I gave last night, me and Tanner made a point to talk about what the fans have done on the road, at home.
Totally.
7-2 at home.
7-2 at home.
Think man. About that. When was the last time we saw seven games at home? You know, and then the ultimate thing was they got loud when they needed to be loud.
Dude. My wife was texting me. My wife was watching, and she kept texting me. She's like, I'm so mad I stayed up this late if they lose. And then at the end, she's like, I'm so glad I stayed up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
listen, they have taken us through some roller coasters.
Yo, when they finally got that sack late in the game, you remember they kind of got to Penix, but couldn't get him down. A couple bad calls.
Yeah.
I hate roughing the quarterback in the NFL. I understand by the letter of the law that the call on Fowler was correct. The law is incorrect. There has to be context and wiggle room that when a quarterback ducks down and a D end is coming in with his hands up, he's clearly not looking to make harmful contact.
Yeah.
And then the quarterback ducks down and there is helmet-to-helmet contact. Like, that can't be on the D end.
Let's be real.
There's got to be context to that.
They try to simplify this thing about, yeah, we're protecting the players.
No.
But you're trying to get an 18 game. You already complained about players' bodies being beat up when they were in 16 games and things of that nature.
You're now right over there?
I got everything falling. Water all over the place.
Listen, I'm going to be honest to everybody out there. Brian and I have not slept much. It was a very late game.
Yeah, man. I almost broke my alarm clock this morning. When that thing started, I was like, what the hell is going on? I slapped it.
It was a very early morning and a very late night. But yes. We're here. We're here locked in 4 hours, baby.
I don't know if we're going to be locked in for 4 hours. I might be taking some naps during the
physically
breaks.
Physically here for 4 hours.
You know, remember I came on that radar that time?
I did.
And I was sleeping in the breaks? Yeah, I might be doing that today.
No, it was both of us. We were like, that was
Vegas?
What, Arizona, I think.
AZ. Ooh,
Arizona after a week out there.
That started off bad. The first show, Lanford was looking for me.
It's funny to think how long the season has gone now. I mean, these NFL seasons are such a grind, but damn, they feel different late
this
in the year.
This one doesn't seem like it went long. This one seemed like it started yesterday.
So,
because it's been good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
For me, there is so much to like about this team and this game and the resilience and the guts they continue to show. Last night, if you go back, I haven't watched the Ultra. Like, I'll go back and rewatch, but just live watching, it was pretty easy to see that the Falcons defense was focused on taking away Terry McLaurin. It wasn't a pure double team, but they pretty much ran cover two a lot, and they would shade that top safety to Terry's side.
They were kind of running a look of a cover two, but they were running four.
A lot of times,
They'll have them back, and then all of a sudden, those cornerbacks drop back, and they played a look like a kind of a cloud little thing. But the ultimate is
they were able to generate pressure with kind of their front four, so that allowed them to drop all these DBs.
At the beginning of the game, we were doing a pregame, and his thing was that other guys have to step up. OZ damn sure stepped up.
Well, B, that's one
Zach
of the things.
Zach Ertz stepped up.
So you lose Noah Brown a couple weeks ago. You don't have Austin Ekeler. That's a significant chunk of offense. Terry's obviously been carrying you from a receiving threat. Atlanta goes all in to shut Terry down. And they continue to find ways. Yeah. OZ last night, 8 for 85. B, you'll like this. So, Tischler and I joked last night that this weekend is fantasy championships. Oh, Daniel's in here. Daniel, how'd your Falcons do? You doing the dirty bird dance today, pal?
He talking about some phantom call, and I don't know what he's talking about.
Phantom call that the Falcons are mad about? Give Daniel his own let's get Daniel on the books. 11:45, Daniel can tell us whatever phantom call he claims happened. But, B, we were joking that if anybody on the planet started Alameda Zacchaeus in fantasy, they probably won.
Yeah.
And my boy Linehan texted me. He was going against him, and that Zacchaeus put him over the top, and he lost. OZ last night, just the 8 for 85 with a touchdown. Ertz. Yep. And, dude, I don't know if you've heard this, but I think a lot of people have been real dumb about Zach Ertz, that people want to yell about his inability for yards after the catch or whatever it is. Last night, one, for starters, he showed serious.
He got some yak.
Yo, he sure did, dude.
But you know, like the thing about
he's able to get open.
A veteran tight end has to be available for a quarterback in certain situations. And he was available, and Jaden found him.
Bro, Zach Ertz, honestly, I wonder if we can look this up, Jeff or Brian. Zach Ertz now, with one game to go, has 61 catches for 610 yards and 6 touchdowns. I think that's easily the best season for a Washington tight end since Logan Thomas's first year here, back in whenever LT showed up, which was 20 or 21, I would guess. Those are really solid, strong numbers. Ertz has helped you time and time again. His ability to get open, and what it just shows me more than anything is this team, and the message comes from, I think, the absolute top. Certainly DQ preaches. It's overly simple to just say it's next man up, next man up.
Yeah.
Because what it is.
But they get the next man up prepared.
Totally.
They don't have guys that's not prepared.
Yeah. There's a level of preparation. They coach it that way. And listen, I understand people like to be skeptical, but at this point, I don't know how you can be. There is a belief.
The only skeptical people now are haters.
Yeah. I think you're right.
That's just my saying.
I think you're so right, because I think they have been coached and honestly put together in a manner of which they got like-minded people to join in the same mission of winning. But when you put five out there with this group,
makes it special.
When you have a quarterback that no matter what, his willingness to do whatever is required to win shines through week after week after week after week, month after month, the ability to put the work in, that carries over to the whole team. And when you have that.
That guy right there is as dedicated as he is and does the things he does. I used to use Alex Ovechkin as that example.
Sure.
When your best player is your hardest worker, it's not easy to get the rest of your guys to fall in place. Then your most decorated player, Bobby Wagner, that dude right there just works. After the game, you know, everybody coming through there and you looking at how hyped they are. First time I saw a smile was last night, and it was very slight.
For Bobby?
It wasn't the biggest smile, but he dapped me up. Dude got some rough hands, boy. He that's actually why he made tackles. He's strong, dog. But, you know, it's been a pleasure, man, watching this team because people don't understand. When you play for something, you become indebted to it in a sense, you know?
Sure.
And you want to see them perform well. But if you're doing this job that we do, sometimes you have to discuss bad stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean you dislike or you don't care about the team. That's your job. But the ultimate thing is you want to be able to praise them. And we've had a lot by this year, and I think it's still going to be more praising coming up.
Yeah, I mean, there's we've been saying this for a while now. There's warts involved. Their run game, especially early, has serious trouble. I love the fact that Jaden is capable of leading this team in rush yards.
Mm-hmm.
He's now done it three games in a row. I don't love that it's out of necessity that he's the only one that can really get it going on the ground.
Like B-Rob yesterday ended up with 4.8 a carry.
It's funny.
At 60 yards.
The numbers feel better than
than it looked.
Than watching it. But late in that game, B-Rob was able to carve them up a little bit.
Part of the reason was
halftime, the numbers
Biotis
were
got
ugly.
Hurt.
Yeah, but the first half, Biotis was healthy.
Yeah.
I think Atlanta's defense surprised Washington.
Big 99 looked like he was a big truck.
Yeah.
And 97, I don't know his name, but that dude was balling.
Yeah, Brandon Coleman had a rough night, especially in pass pro. The penalties, it's easy to just dismiss the penalties, and some of them are really egregious. I thought the pass interference call that allowed Atlanta that late field goal opportunity to maybe win the game, I thought that was among the worst calls in that situation I've seen all year. At best, that's a hold. The catch is the ball is completely uncatchable. There's no way you should ever call that freaking as a pass interference to give him all that yardage. I thought that was just egregiously awful. Listen, I mean, if you just look, B, do you know what the numbers are on the penalty breakdown?
No. I think we had 10.
Atlanta had 4 for 25.
And we had 10 for what? 125?
13 for 108.
See, this is my – and look, I said this last night, and I really believe this. Dan has been a stand-up guy the whole time. He doesn't call out the refs publicly or nothing. He doesn't call them out. But there are times when he has to send stuff in. And he's been right a lot of times. I have to believe the referees are making certain calls and calling things against us because they're pissed that they're being reprimanded. And I have a problem with the ref not being able to be questioned publicly. But if your only way is to send that little thing in and the league send you these your explanations, but your FedEx package, and you think they don't do anything, these referees got to understand, and the league got to understand too. When you see things so one-sided like that, this team is not that team. But that was a little bit overboard last night, and they need to be able to tell the refs, hey, if you get worse, then you sit down.
You really see why they traded for Marshon Lattimore. And I mean, at this point, don't play him against Dallas. You're in now. I'm not one of these dudes who's going to sit here and talk about benching guys and blah, 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 because I think that's stupid. But specific to Lattimore, like, you're in the playoffs, and this hamstring thing doesn't go away. You wait till week 19 for Lattimore to come back. Mm-hmm. But, damn, they're significantly better. And I know a lot of folks don't love Benjamin St. Juice, but Mike Davis isn't better. And they're just – some of the flags are legit because those dudes are grabby because they're getting beat.
Yep. Some of the holding calls. You reach out and touch when you're being beat.
There's times you want to reach out and touch. There's times when you don't. Perhaps, though, most importantly for all this, for the city, just as we, heal from 25 years of awful burgundy and gold to what the future looks like.
25 years of BS.
I mean, think about where we were and where we are. And think about all the people involved. You've got Josh Harris, all of the partners, right? Yep. Rails, Ein, Magic, Blitzer. I mean, there's just so many people involved in that ownership group that deserve just so much credit. And then the way they built an organization in hiring Adam Peters, letting him take it from there.
The basketball guy helped us out, man.
Right.
Ben Johnson didn't like the basketball guy asking him questions.
Dan Quinn, who a lot of people had a lot of questions about, that dude knows how to build a team. And when you hear the leader of men thing, he's it. He's absolutely it. And he just he acts with a level of class and decorum at all times that is really hard to find in the intense pressure cooker that is pro football. And then you add Jaden Daniels, who just has this level of unflappability.
He is calm.
Dude, he's a phenomenal football player. Last night he goes 24 for 36, 227, three touchdowns, has the pick, another 16 for 127 on the ground, and just shows guts. Just does the Sam Cassell dance every time he has to. Unafraid of all situations, willing to put his body on the line, and just pops right back up. When you get that sort of organizational alignment, then you add veterans, then you add young players. It's just you have everything working for you. And yet, Lamphill, I'm not entirely sure everybody understands. For years and years and years, Lamphill, on this program, we have questioned the alumni's commitment to the organization. We have questioned if the former players, if the folks that wore the burgundy and gold
crazy
and the old helmet and the old logo and got Super Bowl rings and played for Joe Gibbs, we have questioned their commitment to burgundy and gold winning football. And today,
you know, we need it. We need to be invited to do it.
Well, there was a claim made by Brian. Brian Mitchell has a Super Bowl ring, will one day be a Hall of Famer. He's in the Ring of Fame for the organization. Brian told the world, look, if they win 11 games, I will wear a damn tutu. And we have a tutu, and Brian is here. And when we come back on the YouTube stream, B. Mitch in the tutu, nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Woo!
It's a celebration.
All right, I'm stand up.
All right, folks, a lot of folks in the stream right now. Let's say good morning. B's doing the great reveal. Hold on, let me get my camera here. So, obviously, Brian Mitchell promised that if Washington wins 11 games, he would wear a tutu, and he is a man of his word.
Yep, Stevie made it. I had to wear it.
B, look at my computer real quick.
Sometime when things happen, You open your mouth too much. You got to wear what you got to wear.
There you go.
And I'm a man of my word.
The best part is B's janky-ass camera is just zoomed in on the tutu.
No, I did this. I moved it down.
Oh, all right, good.
Yeah.
I thought that was that whack-ass camera. I don't mean this silly. This team hasn't won 11 games since you were playing. And you know, I do want to be clear, we don't compare necessarily this team to the 91 team that won the Super Bowl. Yeah. It was an absolute freight train. Because y'all also won 11 in a row.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's different, but there is some historical context involved. How good does it feel for you to wear a tutu right now?
Good. You know, cause I'm going to be honest with you. And I want people to understand the way we were getting by this. We were talking about predicting what the amount of games the team would win. And Jeff, off the bat, we win in 10. We're going 10-7. He was off the bat with it. And I was like going, okay, 8-9. And I say, best they can do is 10-7. And I say, they started saying, oh, and Jeff started going, we might go farther. And I'm like, man, they win 11 games. I'll wear a damn tutu. Not expecting it to happen. Because let's be real. All the people out there that may be laughing at me right now, did any of y'all think we'll be sitting at 11-5 right now?
Nah.
So I said it.
Yes.
Hoping, Jeff, the only person in the world that thought it. I said it, expected it not to happen, so I wouldn't have to. I was just throwing this out here, and I guess they must have told Jaden. That's why he was running so hard yesterday. Yeah, he said his ass won't say he gonna wear a tutu. I'm gonna put him in a tutu. And it's just fun. And I think when you look at the whole vibe around this football team right now, it's exciting. You know, it's about having fun. And I know you're laughing, JB. Who said what?
Nothing, bro. I am. Here's what people don't realize about Brian is we all knew this 2-2 thing. It was in the text thread last night. Jeff was reminding people. I walked in, so we both got here about 9:50 or whatever, and we're kind of getting ready.
No, I got here way before that, JP.
All right, I got here at 9:50. Yeah. And shout out to Stevie that works here. You guys have heard Stevie on the show before. Stevie wasn't messing around. Stevie already had a tutu made and here
hanging
at the
up.
Office, hanging up.
I actually was going to try to play this thing for about 3 weeks.
I knew you were going to try to slow play it. But B.
Hope y'all forgot.
B, too. Nobody was forgetting. But B, to his credit, had this thing on, like, off the break of the show. B's like, I'm getting this over with. I was like, yo, let us build it up a little bit. B had it on at 9:59, hey, he's like, I want this over with.
I got to get this out the way.
Brian,
y'all get y'all little pictures, make your little posts, and I'm taking it the hell off.
Listen.
Stevie got a little
Stevie's W's. Stevie's not messing around, look, man.
I'm going to let the stream see again. She got little W's hanging out here, little tassels. I mean, got to go down. She got go team. Yeah. She ready to put some thought into this thing. All the way back. Look, my booty will be showing if I had no pants on. Boy.
When White Brian took this job to start running the YouTube, I don't think he ever thought he'd be on B-Mitch 2-2 Booty Patrol. But, Brian, congratulations. The world takes twists and turns, man. That's how we all got
on. I put my shades on.
worth it, B?
Hey, the team is 11-5 going into the playoffs. You think I'm concerned about this crap?
Listen, man, I'm
not embarrassed. I get a chance to pump my chest because it's been a long time, bro.
Yeah, man.
It's been a long time. And this feels different. It doesn't feel like this is just like going to be like a one-hit thing. It seems like they are building something to be long-standing, sustained.
Man. I have felt that throughout. Honestly, kind of throughout the year, and I don't want this to sound like I'm taking a shot at Robert, but the last time they even won,
man,
10
look,
was Robert. But just
my boy talking about something. I hear you wearing a tutu at the next Penn High event. That's not happening, E-Jack. Nope, I'm not doing that.
The people are gonna start requesting this. You gotta like your cameo
if you
price
gonna
goes
donate,
up.
If you donate money to a charity of my choice. I'll wear it to your next event. Jeff, what you laughing at? Go ahead, JP.
I don't know. All right, Evan, let's let everybody just comment on B. Mitch's tutu. Let's check in with the boys in the aquarium. Jeffrey, I think, was most excited about this. Who sent the photo last night?
Jeff.
Jeff had this joint ready to go. At 12:42 a.m. last night, Jeff sent a picture of the tutu. Jeff, was this here? That looks like it was at your house. Jeff, did you take this tutu home, and what'd you do with it?
Nah, bro. After the game was over, Stevie texted me and said, it's already made. And that's when I put it in the group chat.
Oh, so Stevie sent you that.
So Stevie showed up here, hung it up, and left?
Yeah, she came this morning.
I think this is from her house last night.
But she got here and hung it up and left.
She came here this morning, hung it up, and was gone.
And I put, that's some BS. And it's some BS that she put it here. She made sure she got it here.
I think it's admirable you stuck with this. Because, sadly, at this radio station, we've heard lots of people make these bold proclamations and then just never follow through.
I'm on everybody's story now. I guess I got to repost their stories.
It is very much making the social media rounds. And Landfill, I can't guarantee that you won't see B. Mitch in a tutu on NBC4 this afternoon. I can make a pretty good hunch that's going to happen. Jeffrey, you were at the game last night. When I saw you in the tunnel, you could barely talk. You'd been screaming. How about these boys winning 11, making the playoffs?
Hey, yo, can I just get it out right quick? Can I just get it right?
Oh, boy.
Right quick. Let's go! Man, yo, I was so excited yesterday. I was with B and Smooth and all of, and I left because I was like, yo, I got to get with the people.
So he kept saying that.
I went with the people because I'm like, we about to pull this out. Like, I'm at the point now in life, if there is time on the clock and we are down, you can't tell me it's over until it is over. And Washington is back. You can feel it in the young fan base. You can feel it in the fans that have been fans for 50-plus years. We had a stadium packed last night, and it wasn't because the Falcons had their black jerseys in it. No, this was majority Commanders fans last night. And it was amazing. I don't know how to – I woke up on time this morning because I could not sleep from us winning the game. I felt like a kid on Christmas Eve. Yo, this is amazing. This is amazing.
Listen, man, when I got to the tunnel, Jeff was there. Normally, Jeff walked down to the tunnel with us.
Right.
I was like, damn, what happened to Jeff? I was like, asked a question when we got back. We did a suite visit. And I said, what, Jeff left? He said, yeah. He said he's going with the people. We got down to the tunnel. Jeff was standing there.
I love it.
Man, you know how Big B always get me on Bleep You Thursday for not coming to the club? I even saw my boy Big B out there.
Uh-oh. I love it. It was happening in that stadium. I mean, the fans deserve just so much credit. I want to shout out in the stream. White Brian, I'll let you be in charge of this. The first thing I see is from Dennis Bailey, but I don't really understand what that is. It looks like it's like code, like actual computer code. I'll give him credit. I'll let you determine, Brian. You are in charge of the stream. Landini, 11-5, clinched the playoffs, going to Dallas for, at this point, you know, the fact that the only thing we're now talking about is seeding and who they're going to play with a game left, this isn't the old scenario where you need three teams to lose, two teams to tie, and one team to get sick the night before. Like, this is not how they used to get into the playoffs. This is, yo, we're in, and we're trying to get a better seed, Landini.
Well, go ahead, Landy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable. For the last, really, 30 years, the team, they've never even had, like, the fluky good year. You know, the Jaguars like won 13 games one year. That never happened to us. We were always a team that we would have to sweat out the last 3 weeks of the season to maybe get 9 wins and win a wild card or something. Yep. It's like, I can't believe the team is actually good. I don't really know what to say other than that.
And there's such a belief in this team and in Jaden Daniels. When they got the ball in overtime, you know what I thought? They're going to score a touchdown.
And they took the ball. I'm like, okay.
Atlanta screwed because they won't get the ball.
You know what I'm foreseeing? People going to overtime. They call heads, his tails. We get the ball. And the other quarterback, or the other captain, throw his hand up in the air like Baker Mayfield did when Pat Mahomes got it. Because late in the game, he goes down the field. They get it going then, you know, and I think that way that they play late when they get balls like that more up-tempo, that has to be incorporated in early parts of the game throughout the game sometime because they keep people all off balance so much. So it was fantastic. I enjoyed it.
I'm so happy we're never going to have to see anybody talk about the Commanders are the only team that hasn't won 11 games in the last 15 seasons. And they not only that, they did it in 16 games, so people can't even say that it was because they added the 17th.
Right.
They did it in 16 games.
Well, and you remember, it was before, I guess, the Caps finally made their run and broke through, that there was like, man, D.C. hasn't, the city hasn't been to a conference title game in 22 years. Hadn't been to the finals in any sport in 27 years. Like, all that stuff's gone now because the Caps and the Nats have won. And with the Commanders, there's no way. Listen, man, nobody knows what the hell's going to happen when you get to the playoffs. I'm not making any proclamations. We don't even know who they're going to play yet.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way, whether it's going to Philly, Detroit, L.A., Tampa, there's no game this team can walk into where you say they don't have a shot.
Yeah,
there
no,
just isn't.
No. Now, they proved that last week. They proved that last week, beating Philly with 5 turnovers. Imagine they play that game clean without turnovers. You're talking about a blowout. So the ultimate thing is this team has to get to the point where they completely believe in themselves, not just late, throughout a game. You know, I've been looking for this, not a perfect game, but a kind of a clean game. You know, and that's what Dan talks about, playing clean. If they play a clean game in all three phases, what can they accomplish?
Bruh. Phone lines open at 11. B. Mitch is wearing a tutu. What a day in the DMV.
At 11 o'clock, it comes off.
This song is an elite example of how bad popular music was in the late 90s. Shout out to all the people that enjoy Limp Bizkit. They're awful. You know, Fred Durst wore a backwards hat. Real cool, though. I mean, his resume for a stretch there was pretty damn unprecedented. I'll give him that. Terrible music, though. I want to check in with the folks in the stream. I got Mike Q first. Mike Q said, first, what up, everybody? What up, Mike? I was today years old when I found out White Brian's last name is Hawk. Am I saying that right, Brian? Hawk?
Hawk, but everyone gets it wrong.
Hawk. How would you pronounce that, Toby? H-A-U-C-K. H-A-U-C-H, rather.
Yeah, probably Hawk.
It's kind of like it reminds me of, like, clearing your throat.
A little bit, yes. That is exactly correct.
I am going to abstain, White Brian, from the very obvious joke that I bet a billion people have made about your last name. How many jokes have you heard about your last name since a young lady in Nashville went very viral?
Too many.
Yeah, I bet. And White Brian, are you actually keeping track of who's been first, like you claim you were going to?
Yeah, I have a spreadsheet going.
All right, update me. So, yo, Mike Q, first winner of the year. That should carry a prize, however nominal that may be.
Congratulations.
It doesn't, though, lest you be a lawyer. Who's on the list, Mike? Brian?
We have Techmark B, Chef Dre Boog, Commandante Tequila.
Brian, you sound so white when you read those names, dude.
He's got to live up to his name, James.
We got to restart the list, though. It's a new year.
Damn, so you're just going to X? That's fine. Start it today. It's the 2025 list. I'm cool with that. How are you, Jeffrey?
I'm great, man. I can't complain.
I heard you want to lead off Bleep You Thursday, though.
Oh, yes, I do.
My man. I look forward to that. There were some wild situations in the text thread over the last 24 hours. Greenberg's joining us at 11. I've been getting these questions, so let's run through the Commanders' playoff scenarios. Basically, as long as they win, they're the sixth seed. Like, it's that relatively simple. As long as they win, they're the sixth seed. And people are like, how? Because Green Bay... because
they're already the sixth seed.
Right, they're currently the sixth seed. They have a tiebreaker over Green Bay in strength of victory, I believe. Or maybe it's NFC record.
Yeah, I think they have a better NFC record by a game or two.
Okay, so as long as they win, they're the sixth seed. There is a path, should they not win, to still be the sixth seed, but it requires It requires Green Bay to lose to the Bears.
That's not happening.
What is the line in Bears-Packers? It's got to be 15.
I think it was 10.5 when I looked. I think it's 10.5. There's some huge lines.
Have you seen
this week,
the Ravens Browns number?
17.5. Also,
it's now at 18.
I know they're not playing anybody, but the Chiefs are 10.5 point dogs.
I kind of want to take them. The Bucs are 13.5 point favorites over the Saints. Ravens are 18 point favorites over the Browns. This is kind of interesting. I assume the Bills are starting Trubisky.
I think so.
Because there are 2.5 point favorites in New England. Packers are 10 point favorites at home. I would think Green Bay's playing people.
Yeah, they're playing people. They don't have Jaire Alexander for the rest of the year, but that's kind of expected. It's been kind of weird what's going on up there. No one could figure out whether he was hurt or not. Now he's going to have knee surgery. He's done, but they're going to play their guys.
Commanders 5-point favorites in Dallas. Broncos 10-point favorites over the Chiefs.
That's just such a weird line to see, right?
Yeah.
I know they're not going to be playing Mahomes and some of these guys, but still, I mean, it's a divisional game. Maybe it's Carson Wentz's redemption game. Maybe he goes off.
I kind of think he will, dude. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. But as long as Washington wins, they're the sixth seed, and they are almost definitely playing the Rams, right?
Yeah, if the Rams win, which they have the toughest game of all the teams.
Well, aren't they sitting Stafford?
I think so, yes. Well, yeah, so Jimmy G's going to be starting there. So maybe they could end up playing the Buccaneers, because right now, the way that things shape up, if the Rams win, which they have the toughest game against the Seahawks, which who knows what's happening with the Seahawks, they're eliminated. So if they lose that one and then the Buccaneers win, then they would jump them, and then Washington would go to Tampa to kind of wrap things up once again, where they face them in week one and go down there again. But basically, the beautiful thing here is you win, you avoid Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Right? That's the main thing. Because Tampa or L.A. is whatever. You know, they're going to be a good opponent regardless, but you don't want to have to go to Philly on the road right away in the wild card round.
Dude, and I've said this as you were walking in, I know that Washington just beat Philly. Like, they just did. They could do it again.
Absolutely.
When they were up there on the Thursday nighter, they had the lead 49 minutes into the game, right? They could play with Philly, undoubtedly. But I think, for me, the absolute top matchup, and it's not, I don't want to say not even close, but I think the best thing that could happen would be get a chance at Tampa again. I think this team, you know, wild card weekend is exponentially better and different than they were week one down there.
Oh, big time.
And I think the opportunity to get that back, for Jaden to go back to Tampa, would really be really pretty cool. I also think, I'm going to be dead honest about something. I think, who's calling plays for Atlanta?
Robinson.
Robinson, right. So Robinson with Atlanta and Sonny Kellen Moore, whoever you want to call for Philly.
Big Dom.
Big Dom, sure. In the second half of both those games, the Saquon and then Bijan got shut down. Both those offenses were stupid and also went away from them.
Correct.
Like in the second half of the Atlanta game, Bijan got 4 carries. He had 82 yards at halftime.
Yeah.
I know Sean McVay, like, personally, and I know he's not that dumb, and I think Kyron Williams would be a real, real problem. And I think that Rams offensive line gets going pretty good. I think McVay, of the potential coaches you have to face out of those three, McVay, Bowles, Sirianni, I think McVay is far superior to either. And listen, Washington can play with anyone, undoubtedly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think getting Tampa, getting a chance to go back where the season started, I think would be pretty damn cool.
Yeah, and regardless of where it is, they're going to have some good storylines. Obviously,
sure,
if they play Philadelphia, it's a third time. We get that. But if they play L.A. in L.A., that's a home game for Jaden, right? He's from that area, from California, so he's going to have people there. But I think the big thing that I'm worried about, if you have to play Tampa, which, you know, you can counter some of that. Like you said, you're playing him a second time. Jaden, when he's played some teams the second time this year, he's played better when he played the Giants the second time. He played much better the second time he played the Eagles. You know, I know it's kind of different because we're talking September 8th was when they played Tampa, and now you're going to be playing like more than a couple months later at the end of the year. So it's a little bit different, but at the same point, you're seeing a defense again that you're familiar with. I'm just a little more scared. It's crazy to say this. Out of the three quarterbacks that you could play, I don't know that I want to play Baker. Like, the way that he's cooking, that offense is rolling, and they've also got their running game going a little bit with Bucky Irving. You know, regardless, like you said, they can face anybody and they can beat anybody. But I would probably prefer L.A., but the point about McVay is very smart there, where McVay, you feel like, is going to understand how to win, and they've got the weapons to do it. And the only reason I would feel a little bit confident there is Stafford just isn't quite the same, and he's always trying to give you the ball. If you take advantage of that, I think they can score against any of these defenses.
Of those three, Stafford, assuming it's Hurts, or Baker? Baker's the one that scares you the most?
Baker.
Really?
They're rolling, man. Their offense is a juggernaut right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware. But they just laid an egg 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it
happens. It looked awful in Dallas.
It happens, and I mean, the Rams are playing well. So,
and, dude, you want to talk about picks, but Mayfield's thrown 15 picks.
Well, he throws them too, but, like, the thing with Stafford is he's not the Stafford that won a Super Bowl.
It doesn't look as explosive for that Rams offense.
Yeah.
And Kupp, oddly, is doing nothing for them.
Yeah.
I think Puka would be a damn problem.
Puka's their number one, and either way, you're going to have to deal with a legitimate running game, right? Kyron Williams.
So you vote L.A.?
I would vote L.A.
Okay. Landfill, where are you voting? What do you think the best possible matchup is for Washington?
L.A.
You also fear Baker?
Yeah.
I think you guys sleep on McVay.
The only thing here, JP, is like I almost look at the defenses because regardless of what offense you face, they're going to have the advantage like against this defense. But if you look at a Rams defense, which their stats are fine, but like they don't have an A.J. Terrell that they're going to be able to deploy on Terry. So Terry theoretically should be able to have a really good game. And I don't know that many people outside of their first-round pick and second-round pick this year with Verse and Fisk can name another dude on that Rams defense. That's not to say that they're not a good defense, but I think when you look at, do I want to face Antoine Winfield and those guys, or would I rather face a Rams defense? I don't know. I think I would take my chances against the Rams, not taking anything away from them, because they're still a decent unit. But I think regardless of who you face, it's going to have to be, you're going to have to outscore them. Because
oh, I agree with that. I mean, even the last two wins, right, against playoff tier opponents in Philly and Atlanta, it's a race to 40.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jeffrey, who you want?
I'm not going to lie, JP. For real,
you
for
want
real,
Philly.
I was about to say, if they don't have Jalen Hurts, I want Philly.
What if they have him?
I'd take the Bucks.
Neil Greenberg joins us at 11. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is high noon in the District of Columbia. It's week 18. Commanders are heading down to Dallas. Helping us break all things down going on in the Big D is our buddy Sean Sharif, host of Sean and RJ, weekdays 5:30 to 10 a.m. on 105.3 The Fan down in the Metroplex. Sean, what's up, man? How are you, buddy?
What's up, guys? How are you doing? Thanks for having me. Happy New Year.
You know what? Yeah, Happy New Year to you as well. But something that's pretty interesting. So we're actually in Ashburn today at practice, and Cliff Kingsbury's addressing the media right now. And he was just asked about being a head coach again and if he's going to take interviews. And Cliff was very diplomatic. He said, yeah, I want to be a head coach again someday, but I love it here right now. And he tried to be as vague as possible.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Cliff is a very famous Texas boy. Would that be on the radar down there?
Well, I don't think it's going to be on the radar. I don't think it's going to be on the radar for Jerry. Jerry, number one, is pretty much against first-time head coaches. I know that Cliff had his stint in Arizona, but I really think that Jerry, especially at this stage of his football life, is too afraid to go with someone that green and that young. He may want, you know, I'm guessing the more experienced person. Now, the fun, young, new name that's been thrown out around here is Jason Witten. Jerry Jones has always said
what?
To us that Jason – hey, Jason Witten's winning back-to-back high school state championships around here. All right, don't dismiss that.
Okay, I didn't know that he was coaching high school down there. But
Yeah, he's coaching high school, and I'm saying that with a smile on my face, as Jerry would say. But, you know, he views Jason Witten as a top five person he's ever dealt with in the history of the National Football League. He views him as a John Wayne-type legend. So that's the fun name thrown out around here. But, like, Ben Johnson we knew was never going to happen because he didn't have experience, and there's a book on Jerry that he's not willing to pay coaches that much money. So while I do work with someone who is absolutely in love with Cliff Kingsbury and his concepts, maybe a little bit more because he's so good-looking, I don't see Cliff
Kingsbury.
Is that
Bobby?
Yes, Bobby. Bobby loves, that's your boy. Bobby loves, he's a huge, all I had to hear at the beginning of the year was Kingsbury drawing it up, Kingsbury concepts. He didn't want to say nothing in the second half when the usual Kingsbury lull takes place. But we've had Cliff on the show. Awesome, awesome dude. Man, I actually have some. If Cliff returns next year, hit me up. And next time you guys talk to him, I have some to play for him that he did for our radio station. It'll be an all-time audio moment for your show.
Okay.
Rapping,
I'd
music,
love that.
Music ability, rapping ability.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. I also want you to tell Bobby that I was able to guess that he's in love with Kingsbury.
How did you know?
just played a hunch on that one, man.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about what is going
on the show. And there's only two other guys on the show, and you know Bobby. So he had a 50, you know, more than a 50-50 shot. I can't give you
too right.
Credit.
I knew the other two of you are sane, and then there's Bobby. So that was kind of my angle there. So let's get down to what we're going to be seeing this weekend. Dallas, I mean, I know you shut CD down, but I imagine the Cowboys that are playing in this thing are kind of all in.
Well, the big question here has been, why have you not been playing Trey Lance? You know, let's start there. Trey Lance was awful in training camp. We all saw him. We were all ducking for our lives with these passes that he was throwing in Oxnard, California. But that does not mean that you erase the fan intrigue. The fans didn't see him play except for in the preseason. And in the preseason, he had some pretty bad moments. So we've been trying to figure out, is Jerry Jones just trying to, like, keep the Cowboy fan base interested in possibly winning? Cooper Rush gives you a better chance to win games. My theory is that Trey Lance is so bad that they don't want to embarrass themselves. They don't want to put Trey Lance out there and get laughed at over that deal of giving up and overpaying for a fourth-round pick. Because the Jonathan Mingo deal, where they traded for the Panthers wide receiver, infuriated this fan base. Made everyone question the sanity of Jerry and Steven all over again, overpaying and giving up a fourth-round pick for a guy who's barely playing here. So you basically flushed and burned two fourth-round picks, and I don't think that they want to put Trey Lance out there because they don't want to feel the embarrassment of acquiring him. Because it's a win-win situation, right? For us Team Tank fans and want to get the better draft pick, put Lance out there. He's something different. Let's see him. And if you lose and he stinks it up, then you go ahead and you move up the draft board. I do have a little birdie telling me that if you look at the clauses in these, you know, everyone's going to come out with their salary bonuses and their clauses for this final week of the season, playing time, incentives, whatever. Sure. I heard that Cooper Rush would make an extra $500,000 if he hits a certain amount of snaps. I think it's 55% snaps for the season. If Cooper Rush played this entire Washington game, he would go ahead and hit that. So that's making me think we're going to see more Trey Lance than what we've seen before, which is basically nothing.
You think Jerry would try to cheap out over $500K?
Good question. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to that. And they're going to have a built-in excuse, right? If Trey Lance starts, they're going to be like, look, we're officially eliminated. We know what Cooper Rush is. We'd like to re-sign him as a backup. Let's see what Trey Lance has, and let's go ahead and put him out there. I don't think we're fully ever really going to know, but they have the built-in excuse in the final game, which is meaningless for them anyway. If Cooper Rush plays the entire time, I believe that tells us that Trey Lance was horrific and terrible, and they couldn't salvage anything after getting him from San Fran.
Yeah.
This past week you had, you know, the Cowboys have been playing a lot better than a lot of people expected on the stretch. They got throttled last week, obviously not having CD Lamb. You know, are they still trying? Like, there's no quit in this team, right? Like, they're going to give a full effort even if they don't have their full guys, right? Like, are their dudes still playing for stuff? Like, Dowdle, I think, is still going for the 1,000 yards, right?
He got the 1,000, but, you know, that is so that has taken over here. It is an amazing, amazing media world that we live in. Mike McCarthy went from getting blown out in the Packer game to people wanting him fired last offseason. Then at the beginning of this year into the middle of this year, he's dead man walking, right? The Cowboys are finished. They're getting blown up by good teams. And dead man walking, is it going to be Mike Vrabel, Bill Belichick, Ben Johnson? Then they go on this 4-out-of-5-game stretch, pretty much against scrubs, mind you. Got to pay attention to the schedule. And these Cowboy fans, they flipped a lot of them and melted in love with Mike McCarthy all over again because they didn't quit. They didn't quit on Mike McCarthy. Look what he can do with Cooper Rush. So the standard around here has gone from Super Bowls and, you know, something more than a first-round playoff exit. Now it feels like it's been reset to, oh, you know, making the second round would actually be a really, really, really good thing again. And as long as they don't quit on the head coach, maybe we can go ahead and bring the head coach back. So now we've gone from dead man walking to reports that Mike McCarthy could be in a position to turn down the Dallas Cowboys if they try to re-up him because teams like the Bears and the Saints could be interested. But no, they have not quit on Mike McCarthy. The effort has still been out there. They just suck in terms of certain areas of their team and in terms of their depth.
It's crazy because I remember we had you on a month, probably before the last time Dallas was coming up here, and you were like, oh, yeah, this guy's no chance. And
well, y'all made me really look really stupid after I said that it was a cakewalk, you know, so I don't even know why you're having me on again after Washington made me look really dumb saying that they would go ahead and control and dominate the football game. So there you go. That shows what I know.
We like you, though. You can follow Sean at 1053SS on X. It is crazy that Dallas beating Washington kind of salvaged their season because then they went on that little run, won 4 out of 5 against bad teams. You're right. But, like, that Bucs performance was really impressive 2 weeks ago on Sunday Night Football. It's remarkable.
This drives me insane. I'm sorry to cut you off. Who freaking cares? This is what I've been telling Cowboy fans. You got to focus on the other end of the spectrum. When this team, this is how I would make my head coaching decision and judge my team. When this team is healthy, when everything is going well, which is a 12-5 regular season 3 years in a row, which is Dak Prescott last year finishing second in the MVP race, right? You're not going to get that much better of a season maybe ever out of Dak. What are you? You're still a first-round exit. Either the San Francisco 49ers are owning you or the Green Bay Packers are smacking you. No one thinks that they belong in the same building as Detroit. Philadelphia is obviously better. Like, what are you at your best? And under Mike McCarthy, they have still been a first-round exit. He was brought in here to do better than Jason Garrett. And yes, he's done better in terms of the regular season record, but they're still sloppy. They're still undisciplined. They still play really, really stupid. They don't have the small details in order to win. So, like, rather than save Mike McCarthy because they didn't quit on him and they won 4 out of 5 with a backup quarterback, I take it to the other end. What are you at your best? What are you capable of? And the Dallas Cowboys still are not sniffing. Forget a Super Bowl. They're not sniffing a conference championship appearance that has not been here for 30 years. Mike McCarthy has had enough time. He's on my show tomorrow, or maybe for the final time, definitely the final time of the regular season, so it doesn't go over well when I say this stuff about Mike, but I got to be honest, he's had enough time. They haven't gotten close. In my opinion, it's time for the next.
What'd you make of them doing right by Zeke and releasing him?
Oh, my God. Doing right by Zeke. That's a loaded
thing. Is there a dude that deserves less do right by me than that dude?
Well, you know what? Like, Zeke did turn things around from the early days of partying and all the stories that you heard and everything. This whole thing was a joke to begin with. It was ridiculous. I lost all my money to my coworkers when they told me in the offseason, well, Zeke's going to be the starting running back for the Dallas. You know what? Zeke and McCarthy actually have an interesting parallel. And this shows you how backwards Jerry and Steven are. So Zeke Elliott is not good enough to be your starting running back 2 or 3 years ago. You get rid of him. But you bring him back 2 or 3 years later to be your starting running back. Mike McCarthy does not get the extension after his third straight 12-5 season playoff loss. But now you might give him the damn extension after you go 7-10. If that ain't the definition of ass backwards, I don't know what is. In terms of Zeke specifically, I can't get it straight yet. Obviously, he had the issue earlier in the year where he was missing meetings, late to meetings. They should have just cut him then. They should have been done with it. I don't know how much of this is like 50-50 or 60-40. Yeah, we're going to do right by you. And the other 40% or 50% saying, you know what, let's get you out of here. We should have done it a long time ago. What the weird thing about the Zeke thing, in addition to him being a starting running back, was that he came back to a different locker room only 1 year later. It was really weird. Fort Worth Star-Telegram just dropped the story like a few minutes ago before I came on with you guys, but it's all talking about how it wasn't a fit, and it just did not work from a chemistry standpoint when he was expected to be the mentor. Obviously was not happy about his carries. His dad was offering $10,000 to anyone on social media who could show video proof that Zeke had lost it. So hopefully Mr. Elliott is paying out about $30 million to everyone who knew that Zeke didn't have it a long time ago, and I don't expect Zeke to get picked up.
No, he's not going to get picked up, dude. That's a joke.
I want to ask both of you real quick.
Sure.
As a Commanders fan or outside perspective, what would you do with McCarthy if you were Jerry?
It's tricky because, like, for me, to your earlier point about what is your best, and the best just isn't good enough, and frankly, I think for McCarthy, both his time in Dallas and his time in Green Bay, there is ample evidence to support he's a pretty good coach. He's going to get you to the playoffs and then not be able to get it done from there. And that was with Rodgers at the peak of his powers. And now Dak, who I think is a good player. I would be looking at some point, you've got to decide what your organization is about and if it's about rings and trophies or if it's about selling out Jerry World and having 2,000 people on the field after and everybody having a good time. And that is the question for Dallas to me at this point, because you look at the organizations around the NFL that have become true championship organizations. They're just running things differently. You look at the Niners. Even Niners are having a bad year, but like, you know what they're about. You know what Kansas City's about. I think under Dan Campbell, you know what Detroit's about. I don't know what Dallas is about. So if I'm running that operation, McCarthy's not my guy, but I wouldn't have allowed myself to be boxed into this lame duck contract year thing anyway.
Yeah, I feel like you got to move on. I feel like it's time to try something else because it should be about rings, like you're saying, JP. I don't know for sure that it is with Jerry Jones, but it should be about rings. And if that's the case, then you got to move on for Mike McCarthy because he's just not getting it done.
Yeah, okay. So would be more worried about Vrabel coaching the Cowboys than McCarthy?
Hell yes.
Absolutely.
Listen, Vrabel didn't have the playoff success either, but he had that Tennessee program beating people's asses.
That is an anonymous, get out of the league, you know, contract franchise team in terms of a lack of talent. Like, I mean, they never had real talent. I'm a Vrabel fan. That's the type of culture guy I think that this organization needs, but we'll see what happens.
But, dude, at the same time, would he put up with Jerry?
I've heard through the grapevine.
For a Dallas guy, how attractive is that job?
How attractive is the Cowboy job? I mean, that is phenomenal question.
To the league.
it's a great question. Look, when you compare it to Dan Snyder, when you compare it to Woody Johnson, when you look at the mess in Chicago, you know, it doesn't look as bad. You got to be okay and fine with Jerry Jones on our radio show, on the station twice a week. You got to be okay. You know, one of our guys relayed a story that the beginning of the end with Jimmy Johnson, he did this the other day. Jimmy noticed everyone during his post-game presser get up and walk into the hallway. And, JP, you know what I'm talking about here, covering these games. Jerry Jones conducts his own press conference while the coach is speaking. I mean, that's the definition of undercutting. That's disrespectful. Now, I don't believe Mike McCarthy cares about that. I don't think Bill Belichick would have cared about that. I haven't heard that Mike Vrabel needs to be Mr. Personnel guy, right? Like, the ego of being in the spotlight and being on First Take and all these shows has to be alluring, but then, you know, what type of real football decisions is Jerry making? Like, who the hell was responsible for the Trey Lance deal? Was it Will McClay? Was it Stephen Jones? Was it Jerry Jones? Who the hell was responsible for the Mingo trade? You know, Vrabel was not happy with his GM for what happened with A.J. Brown. I feel like Mike Vrabel could work here. People were fearful that Belichick, because you also got to come in and you have to be okay. Stephen Jones ain't going anywhere as the executive vice president, and Will McClay we don't think is going anywhere. So you got to be okay coming in with that system. And I don't know that Mike Vrabel has the desire or the swinging you-know-what to come in and say, I have to run player personnel. The Cowboys are not a bad roster. We know that. They just have five Pro Bowlers today. Again, three straight 12-win seasons. And I've heard that Mike Vrabel would be very interested in the job, even though you have the Patriots and the Jets rumors out there.
I know a lot of people are mocking him to, obviously looking ahead to the draft, a lot of people are mocking Ashton Jeanty to Dallas being from that area. You think that's a prime target for them to go after Jeanty in the first round?
Good question. And speaking of how fast things change, how about how much we flip on running backs now, right? Because a first round running back was a laughable joke 2 years ago. And then you have, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson. I think Jeanty's name is big enough that Jerry would be interested, but good Lord, this team has a lot of problems. This team has a lot of issues. So I would not dismiss or rule out Jeanty, but we can go down the entire list of problems that they have all over the place, even for a team that's had 36 wins before this season. But yeah, I would not rule out Ashton Jeanty because of the way that the league has been turned upside down by the running back success.
Yeah, it really has. So I'm bringing this all the way back.
I know one guy that Texas fans may not want around here after yesterday is Scattaboo. So I don't want to keep him away from here, at least the Longhorn fan.
That dude is a badass, man. Talk with our friend Sean Sharif from Dallas, host of Sean and RJ weekdays, 5:30 to 10 a.m. on 105.3 The Fan. You can follow him at 105.3SS. Obviously, there's so much like kind of palace intrigue with Dallas that is far more big picture and far more important than this weekend's game. But specific to Washington, this weekend's game is what matters because they want to stay the sixth seed. How do you think this thing shakes out Sunday?
At the risk of being 0-2, I'm going to say that if Washington puts their players out there and they want to play for something, that the Commanders come in here and win this game. I don't think that you're not going to get a bunch of quit. You're not going to get a laydown factor from the Cowboys. But look, not dealing with CeeDee Lamb, like the lone offensive weapon that they have besides Rico. If you control Rico, Jalen Tolbert's been coming on even with a broken finger, a touchdown in three straight games. Jake Ferguson has had a down year for him. Brandon Cooks has tried to get going. Man, there's two names that you need to work. Well, there's three if Micah's out there. But control Turpin and the special teams, and don't let Rico run all over you. And y'all should make me 1-for-2 with my predictions this season. And I hope you get the W. I'm happy for Dan Quinn. I'm happy for the Commander fan base. But more importantly, I want the Cowboys to get a better draft pick. So please, hail.
I love it.
Sean, we always appreciate your time, bro. You always bring it. It's always fun talking to you, man.
Thank you, boys. Thank you for having me. Great as always. Happy New Year.
All right. That's our guy, Sean Sharif. Happy New Year indeed. Give him a follow at 105.3SS. We have some news here from Cliff Kingsbury. I answered some very interesting questions from Sam Fortier about possibly being a head coach. Nobody go anywhere.
106.7 The Fan. Got to be honest, man. B-May Gumbo, and it's phenomenal. Let's go around the room. Did White Brian get any? You don't eat gumbo, Brian?
I'm about to go grab some.
Okay. He said he had some before. Landini, what do you think, dude? This might be the best batch ever. No lie.
Really?
Yo, it's really, really good, dude.
Wow. It took me 3 hours, Jay. I got up about 5:30. Started around 6. I cut up everything yesterday.
So, 5:30, you start making, what is it, the roux?
I started actually in the pot, sauteing the onions. Well, the Holy Trinity and added bell peppers to it. So the Holy Trinity, you talk about, you basically use celery, garlic, and onion. Then you add a little bell pepper to it. And then I started cooking that at 6 o'clock.
So what is when do you add, like, the shrimp and the sausage and everything?
Later. So 30 minutes I did that. Then I had my flour and stuff. Like, you could do roux different ways. People always think you got to just do the roux early on. You don't have to do it early on. You can add flour, and then the color will come into it. You know what I'm saying? A little bit later after you start doing your vegetables or whatever.
So when I say that you are, like, generous and kind and you get mad at me about putting your business in the street, like, here's an example of it. As much as B is going to physically attack and harass Jeff all damn day, Jeff is also allergic to shellfish, so B made a special side pot that didn't have shrimp or crab in it.
I think my daughter did that for Jeff. Nah, I did it.
I know you did.
Yeah, I made a dude. He's allergic. I don't want nobody taking a dip on my watch. And then, but Jeff keeps talking, oh, yeah, the day to day I'm going to try the other one. I'm like, look, I told Brian, what did I tell you? I gave him a pot with nothing in it. If he goes into the other pot, that's his fault.
A pot for every, what was the FDR phrase? A pot for every kitchen, something like that? A chicken in every pot?
But think about it, B-Mitch, if your gumbo was so good, it killed somebody.
Nah. That would be pretty cool.
That's not a good thing. If it kills somebody, that's not so good. That's awful.
I believe it's a praying mantis that the woman kills the man after sex. So that you could have praying mantis gumbo.
Yeah, but why you think she killed him? Because he wasn't no good.
I think it's just how they get down.
I'm just saying, man. I don't want a praying mantis.
I'm going to be honest. Brian, we call him White Brian because he's White Brian. But he's also a very white dude. Brian, have you ever had gumbo?
Yes, he has.
I have.
All right. What do you think of this batch?
It's very good.
All right. White Brian, man, a few words. Jeffrey, what do you think of the gumbo, buddy? B made your own special pot of.
It's amazing. I appreciate you,
so,
bro.
So your mom can use the real pot?
Yeah, I put her something.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. Gotcha.
I'm not trying to get cursed out again.
I want to have a conversation very specifically about what you want to see in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
But I did want to run through this. I was listening to PFT Commenters podcast this morning. So think about this 2018 NFL draft. And I say this because I don't know who these morons are, but apparently I got tagged in a tweet. So this dude, Disco, I feel like Disco is a part of our universe, and we appreciate Disco, said that some fans have already declared Ben Sennett a bust and wonder why he hasn't supplanted Zach Ertz. And I think the people saying this are so incredibly stupid. Sennett has been really good all year.
All year.
Ertz might be a Hall of Famer. Like, I don't understand this rush to not like Zach Ertz, who caught 2 touchdowns last week, including the game winner in overtime. Ertz is a fantastic player and one of the best pure route runners as a tight end, probably in NFL history.
We have to find a way to ignore the small amount of people who like to say the dumbest things possible. And let's not put any more, focus on them. Move past them and move on. You don't just sit down somebody because somebody outside the building think that they can't play. I've watched him play all year, and the guy has given us a hell of a lot. You know what I'm saying? So we got to stop. We got to start to ignore those people. And you know what? Maybe sometimes it's the infiltration of others. Fans that didn't like him from Philly when he left and this, that, and the other. You know, people come in and do that stuff. So we got to learn to just ignore them.
I had an interview with Commanders tight ends coach David Rye yesterday. I think we're going to play that later in the show. We talked about Ertz at length and how impressed he is. But the notion of declaring a player a bust 16 games into his rookie season, I just found so stupid. And I was listening, like I said, part of my take this morning.
Yes. Everyone that thought that Sennett and Luke McCaffrey were supposed to automatically get playing time, I've always fought against that. I keep saying, you have to learn how to play at this level. And Sennett, he's a hell of a blocker. He plays special team out the world. And then he's going to be able to enhance other stuff coming forward. You look at Luke. Luke is in his, third year now of being a receiver?
Yeah.
And now he's at the highest level.
And he went from playing at Rice to the NFC East.
Yeah, he has to learn how to play it. And I see a bright future for him. But everybody just automatically assumes just because somebody was did. We've seen Heisman Trophy winners never take a snap in the NFL.
Well, that's exactly where I was going. Let's look back at the 2018 NFL draft, shall we?
And then think about what's happening in the playoffs this year. Number one pick in that draft, Baker Mayfield, who a lot of at various points in his career had been dismissed as a bust repeatedly.
Yeah.
He's, I assume he made the Pro Bowl. He's, you know, Tampa's in the, I guess not definitively in, but Tampa's probably in the playoffs. Mayfield playing at a really high level. People definitely at one point in time called him a bust.
Yeah.
Number two pick in that draft, Saquon Barkley. The Giants just decided he was done, didn't want to pay him. How's that look? It might cost you your job, honestly, Joe Shane.
Yeah, yeah.
Number three pick in that draft, Landfill's boy, Sam Darnold.
People still think he's a bust, and he's sitting there 14-2.
Right. And about to get paid. That draft was loaded, B. Listen to this. Denzel Ward at 4, Chubb at 5, Quentin Nelson at 6, Josh Allen at 7, Roquan at 8, McGlinchey 9, Josh Rosen at 10. There's your first bust. Minka goes 11, Vita Vea goes 12, Deron Payne here. I mean, this draft was just loaded. Tremaine Edmonds in that draft, Jair Alexander. And you know who went 32? Fellow by the name of Lamar Jackson. I mean,
That was told he should try running back.
That is just such a loaded draft, dude. But yeah, that's kind of my point is like people got to chill trying to make these pronouncements and determine draft success. This new staff is
I think they know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, dude, so 13 people got Pro Bowl recognition. Obviously, Jaden and Terry are in, and then 11 other dudes are some level of alternate, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of those 13, B, 10 of them joined this organization since March. These guys know what they're doing.
And
the other three were here back to the Gruden days.
And then all of the pundits, think about that. When they picked all these people up, they were like, oh, Washington, they didn't get no talent. Remember that? We have no talent. And I say, let the people at least get in here first and see what they can do. They have more than enough talent.
Speaking of more than enough talent.
They need some depth, but that's about it.
I would say this Gumbo's got more than enough talent. Also, Cody Betts tweeting at me.
Oh, boy.
Trying to mess with me. Got to say what's up to the folks in the chat. Let's go. Let's see who's first. I'm scrolling. I got Strizzy. Strizzy at 10 a.m. said, Dallas sucks. I think that's an appropriate first comment. You're going to mark him down, White Brian. Strizzy. All right. Strizzy's in there. Also, Cody said, I tried my best to be first. I have no idea how y'all beat me in here. Too late. Cody, you snooze, you lose.
There you go, son.
Also wanted to say, our boy Greg is homesick and watching on the YouTube. So, G, we hope you feel better.
Greg.
The Vegas flu, man.
He ain't sick. That's the Vegas flu right
now. That's the Vegas flu.
He's been in Vegas for a week. That's what's wrong with him.
Yo, Vegas for a week. When he told me he was going for a week, I thought he was nuts.
And then he showed us his equipment.
He went to the store.
he should be sick.
He went to the store. Vegas for a week, you're nuts. Vegas is a three-night maximum. I think I legitimately... I don't even want to joke about that, considering everything that's happened in the last couple of days. When we go to New Orleans, but it's gonna be a wild ride.
Yep.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Yo, today is January 3rd. So, in either depending how you do the math, 27 or 28 days, we're gonna have this party at Tally Ho in Leesburg. 106.7 The Fan live. Me and B will be there. The Junks will be there. Grant and Danny will be there. Yo, did you know Cakes did a solo show this morning?
Yeah, JP, I do it a lot here.
You do it a lot?
Yeah. Normally when you go, I don't want no help.
The Cluster Buster has changed that. It used to be we did a lot of solos. Now we get Toby.
I'd rather not have nobody, though.
I like Toby.
I could do it. Toby's good.
I like Toby.
That's why I did it with Toby. But I've done a lot of them.
Toby gets two thumbs up.
But you know what you find out with the solo show, you have to really pace yourself, because what you got to do is talk a little slower, and then what you do, like when I was
Philadelphia taught me this. Everybody do a lot of shows by themselves up there.
Well, hell, at 980, before everything changed, but, weren't you doing solos every day?
Yeah, but what you do, but that was only 2 hours. That's four. So what you do, like when I filled in for Howard Eskin for 2 weeks, what you have to do? Phone lines open all day. Because if you start talking.
Well, in Philly,
and
too.
And you take a call, they will spark. Like, you know, the night before you do a show, you're always thinking about all these topics. And then the next day, you only remember half of them. But someone will call in and spark your mind to what you were thinking about. Or give you a new topic. And you just go on through it. So, it's cool. But Casey did do a good job. He had some help.
He had some help.
You know, Drab and Valdez helped him out. And even White Mike was kicking it in, too.
Shout out to White Mike.
It did good.
But come out, hang out with all of us January 31st, Tally Ho Theater in Leesburg. Tickets are on sale now at tallyhotheater.com. I just got an updated look. I wanted to share this. The draft order, the Giants this weekend. All right, so you've got four teams that are 3-13. New England, Tennessee, Cleveland, and the Giants. Then you got a gang of teams. You got five teams that are 4-12. Jacksonville, Panthers, Jets, Raiders, Bears. Depending on what happens this weekend, I don't think anybody expects the Giants to beat the Eagles. But if they do, they could fall all
if
the way.
If they sit everybody.
They're sitting Saquon.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
He is more of the reason that you're where you are than anybody else on that team.
Hurts isn't playing, right?
No, I don't think Hurts can play. But Hurts has not been the answer or the reason this year. Saquon has been the reason. And you don't want him to get hurt. But also it shows he's selfless. You know, he doesn't care about the record and all that type of stuff. When he played the Giants the first game, he had a chance to set the single-season rushing record. And now let the young guys go out there and work.
Sirianni said it was his call to bench him. Saquon said he's good with it. I think he's good with it. Hurts isn't playing. I mean, if you're Philly, it's clearly all eyes on next weekend. The Giants, I think, will be a live dog in that thing, but the quarterback play has just been so inconsistent. Yeah. I know they were all doing victory laps last week because Drew Lock threw a couple touchdown passes. It's just the amount of fluctuation right now. The Jets would have the 7th pick, right?
Uh-huh.
If they lose and a couple other teams win, the Jets could get all the way up to number 2. If you're the Jets.
Who are they playing?
I think they're playing the Bills.
I say this. If you're the Jets.
No, they might be playing the Dolphins.
If you're the Jets and you want to win that game, you have to bench all your top-notch players.
Jets are playing the Dolphins.
Because if you put your top-notch players in, they're going to play.
Here's my question. If you're the Jets, are you drafting a quarterback if you get into that top five? If you get your shot at Ward or Sanders?
Yes.
You imagine, because, you know, like, Phil, Jesus. If you're the Jets and you got.
Was he just drinking the
it, it was a wild
You like the boy. You can change up a whole story, can't you? You just took that from a damn drama to a murder mystery.
The Jets, Rodgers is under contract.
Yeah.
You're going to have a new coach that's going to try to wrangle all this. You imagine then throwing Dion, Coach Prime, Shador, the camera crew that follows them everywhere. You imagine them throwing there?
You think Dion is going to coach in the NFL this year? That's your thought?
No. But I think Dion will be involved.
Yeah, but Dion can have a camera crew follow him everywhere when he's in charge. He can't control that when he goes to the NFL.
Doug, you think?
Yes.
Whoever's coaching the Jets, let's.
Yes.
Who's going to be the
NFL? The NFL is bigger than Deion Sanders.
Deion probably doesn't agree.
They'll shut that down.
I don't know, man.
They'll shut that down. Look, you listen. I love what Deion does, but there's no damn way your son is going to be walking around with a camera on the NFL property like that. They're not letting that happen. HBO, they might let. He better go get a job with HBO when they do Hard Knocks.
I don't know how to frame this wager, but I would be interested in a wager of the Shador, Dion, camera crew world, wherever he lands.
To be honest with you, wherever Shador lands, he doesn't need a Dion camera crew. If he's good enough, the camera crews in the NFL will promote you.
I'd also rather have Cam Ward.
Hell, the NFL will promote you.
Did you see Milrow, the Bama quarterback, that is exceptionally athletically gifted, but just not the most accurate passer?
He needs to get him a passing coach and work with him the whole time once his season over now.
He just signed with Jalen Hurts' agent. And I think the path, Jalen Hurts' path to being a good, there was a great season. I would say he's a good quarterback now, is what Milrow has to follow.
I think Jalen Hurts was a better passer than Milrow was in college. I think Milrow has to take that next step to get to the passing. I think if people look at Lamar, what he's done this year compared to what he did in his previous years as a passer, you got to figure that out. You got to work on that. It doesn't just happen. And I think all these guys in the league where you may have people, if they see promise in you as a quarterback, you need to improve the things that you have been short on to make sure you keep going forward. Because a lot of times, guys get drafted, guys get to the league, and guys stop working because they think job is done. No, job is just beginning.
Just beginning.
Yes.
And one of the things I like most about Jaden, he's getting better every day.
Yeah.
Every day he's working hard. And
he was considered a legitimate passer in college. He's gotten better at a level where he got people that are harder to compete against. So,
B. Mitch and Finley, when we return, Jeff Walker got a new hype song.
Hype it up, Jeff.